My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And we are here, the penultimate episode of season three, and probably my favorite episode of the season.
It's really great.
This is so fucking good, Gary.
Yeah, it's a really good episode. There are moments, this episode has parts that like you watch in a vacuum on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have that experience again.
Yeah.
Like the context, obviously it benefits and you do it during a whole rewatch,
mm-hmm.
but they're just performances that are worth watching like songs.
Yeah.
You know, like experiencing the same way you experience a song.
Yes.
Outside of an album.
Mike's little monologue, not little monologue. It's yep. a great monologue. Jesse's March.
Yep.
You know, it's man, this is this is fucking jam packed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really great episode, and we're full speed ahead.
We are.
Feels really good. And then next season, which we're close to, we're gonna start getting into all the fun cat and mouse shit
mm-hmm.
with Gus, which is real good. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Since we are heading towards the end of the season, a little bit of housekeeping. We're gonna do a season wrap up. We always do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have thoughts, duckfeed.tv/contact. Send those our way. We're going to be fixing, you know, we record on a weird schedule. Sometimes we record well before an episode comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hearing this, now is the time.
Yes.
If you have season three thoughts.
Yeah. And that goes for any season. If you have thoughts about a particular season, go and do that at any time. If you have thoughts about an episode yes. as we're talking about it, it is not, we're not looking for responses just when we call for them.
Yes. Yeah. But now is don't kick yourself thinking, oh, I had something to say about season three and they already recorded mm-hmm. the episode.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this episode, written by Sam Catlin and Peter Gould, directed by Adam Bernstein, and originally aired on June 6th, D-Day, 2010.
This, I believe it was the day that I graduated from college.
Ooh, like had the graduation day.
Yeah. So like had my whole family down for the ceremony because they wanted me to walk, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like I remember watching this with my brother and being like just both of us just like standing completely tense, like, you know, like Marge when she was all worked up.
The end of this episode is a criminal thing mm-hmm. to make people wait for a week, and then the end of the season is a criminal thing
mm-hmm.
to make people wait a season.
Yeah. Well,
to wait and
with the little yep. 3-degree crank camera move that they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's brutal.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that really benefits from being able to just dive right back in.
Yeah.
I remember watching this with my wife, my first wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back then when we moved out to Portland and then just, you know, that great collective gasp, you know, moment at the end of this, just like,
what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
It really makes me wish that like for a little while during Breaking Bad's final season, I think I've mentioned this before.
Mm-hmm.
The way I watched it was in the Hollywood Theater.
Oh yeah.
They were showing the final season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gray market. Like it's not like that's not legal.
Nope.
There it was free.
Mm-hmm.
You just came in and like bought popcorn if you wanted to or whatever and sat down and watched the newest episode of Breaking Bad as it aired in a theater.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have the end of this episode in a theater experience
mm-hmm.
where you get to hear everyone's breath like collectively catch all at once. Yeah. Great shit.
Yeah. This episode concerns itself primarily with Jesse's discovery that he is working for the people who killed Combo.
Yes.
You know, and he is trying to run that up the flagpole, and everybody is resisting it because it is drawing into a conflict in this incredibly fragile situation.
Yes. On top of all of these simmering conflicts.
Yes.
You know, like with things like Walt never really considering Combo
mm-hmm.
a person.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of a tool and stuff. Like he's the only one who cares.
Yeah.
It is a big episode for Aaron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He won an Emmy for this episode. He has No Half Measures tattooed on his arm,
mm-hmm.
which is intimidating.
Very.
as a tattoo to see. Like, let's say you're going to bed with Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
And he takes off his shirt. Like, well, shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's real prison. Like, that's very threatening.
Yeah.
That is a tattoo that Lobo from the DC Universe might have. Like,
you know. Yeah. Especially in context, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's intimidating, but good for him.
Yeah. Not too much trivia on this one. Aside from the fact that this is the episode where shooting was interrupted during this opening montage we're going to talk about, because people thought that Wendy, the sex worker in the show, was an actual sex worker. Like, somebody just kind of pulled up and was like ready to go.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, didn't see the cameras, didn't see any of that. Yeah. We talked about that when we first introduced this character, but this is the episode where it happens. And this is the return of Wendy. She hasn't been seen since like very early season two, I believe.
Yeah. It's been like 22 episodes or something like that. And we're not going to see her again until pretty late in Better Call Saul as well.
Yeah. So we start with this cold open of this, this montage of, Wendy, the sex worker, so the crossword in, just doing blowjobs.
Mm-hmm.
This is played with something that I consider to be a cheap irony. I never like, you know, intense thing happening, happy music next to it. It's always like a punk cover of Puff the Magic Dragon or some shit. Along to Wendy, the song by The Association.
Mm-hmm.
I also have feelings about that because I like The Association.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of 60s, you know, Britpop shit is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the song. I liked it before this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like everyone, you know, it's this very Who's Got a Sunbeam and whatever juxtaposed with these blowjobs and stuff. And it's a little bit beneath the show.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, and like this is a great episode. There are a couple of things that I've kind of honed in on almost as like Peter Gouldisms.
Yes.
That happen, which are little peeks into the show being a little bit funnier and having a different comic sensibility that I recognize from Better Call Saul that now I can like backport.
Yes.
On. There's one other scene in this episode that is very Peter Gould to me. But this little bit feels super Gouldy.
Yes.
In a way, you know, semi-derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like it as just a slice of life thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just like throwing the everybody knows who's catching a sunbeam while she catches a blowjob is,
yeah,
again, feels a little bit beneath them to me.
It's hard to think of this song in any other context than this. I'd heard it before, but like, I don't know. This is just one of those cultural footprint things that, you know, that just kind of takes a little bit like Goodbye Horses. Can't hear Goodbye Horses without thinking of that scene, you know?
Poor Q Lazarus.
Yeah. You know? This is a very effective commercial for Mug Root Beer, one of the worst root beers.
She loves Mug Root Beer. Uh-huh. It's a go-to drink because she's swallowed some cum and doesn't like the taste.
Nope.
And drinks a big root beer to spit it up.
Yeah.
Lots of little, you know, her putting her head down on laps in this with a series of like Tim and Eric extra looking guys. And then a couple like little special details are pulled out, like her picking pubes out of her teeth, taking a dump in the alley.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Just it is a hard life.
It's pretty undignified. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and I think that I would entertain an argument about how, you know, what kind of dignity they're treating this character with. I don't think necessarily Breaking Bad is great at that kind of thing.
No.
You know, the end result of this, though, the kind of the takeaway is that at the end, she takes some burgers and cash to the two dealers.
Mm-hmm.
The two dealers who employed Tomas and Jesse is watching.
Yeah.
And the music fades out. You know, it stops being this happy irony time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So title sequence, and we cut over to Junior, who is driving Walt home in the Aztec. They're talking about plans for his upcoming driver's test. And Walt is in good dad mode here. You know, Junior is like, hey, you know, are my feet okay? And he looks down and he sees that Junior is working with one foot on the gas, one foot on the brakes, something that Walt had previously yelled at him for. You know, he has limited mobility and, you know, this was like, oh, you got to do it the right way kind of deal.
Yeah. And there's probably an argument that that's more dangerous.
Yes.
You know, other than just the right way. Mm-hmm. I don't know about driving science. I'm sure they explained it to me.
Right.
This is Walt being a better dad, but it's also Walt ceding ground because he's distracted is the way that I read this.
Yeah.
Walt has tons on his mind. He's just kind of staring out the window during this whole thing.
Yeah.
And like Flynn says, you know, how am I doing? And Walt's like, oh, yeah, good, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's thinking about the situation. He's
Yeah.
He's thinking about Jesse stealing meth. He's thinking about all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know, he's just like, Walt Jr. says, you know, I'm gonna get a note from a doctor that says I can do it this way. And then once I have my permit, I can learn.
Yeah.
Walt's like, okay. You know,
As long as it gets from point A to point B,
who am I to argue? And that's so different than his attitude from before.
Yes.
Like, I read this as resignation, you know, as distracted resignation.
Yeah. All of his conflict points are used elsewhere right now.
Yes, exactly. His build, his army is on another front. Skyler is reading up on money laundering. on Wikipedia,
which is very funny. I love that as a little detail, you know, especially because she was big timing Saul, who was giving a very juvenile explanation of money laundering, but like
she jelly bean based.
Yeah, but she doesn't know the details. You know, this is her in a private moment trying to get more confident with this, right? But then Junior and Walt pull up. And she goes outside, sends Junior in to have a conversation to, you know, double check, see how Walt, you know, feels about the idea of buying the car wash.
Yes. And Walt is continuing to push back. There are multiple reasons why this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't want her to be more involved.
Right.
You know, her argument is that she's already involved. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he says, you know, the thing for you to do is just take the money I give you and don't ask questions.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, nobody, you know, the police are gonna be like, you didn't question that, you know, like I'd be that stupid. She's trying to make the story.
Yeah. She says, I'd rather be Bonnie, what's her name, than have the thing. Yes. I was dumb enough to, you know, to go along with that, which is her pride showing, right?
It's for 100% her pride, but also I think police would pick.
Oh yeah,
that story.
Yeah.
And it's interesting contrasting this with later with her playing the dumb idiot with Ted Beneke, his taxes stuff.
That's what TurboTax said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the QuickBooks didn't turn red when I put the thing in the thing. You know? So while Skyler's pitching it as an idea, you know, you get into this thing with your with my estranged wife and everything, and Walt sees an end. He sees a flaw in the story. You know, why would Walt do all this for his ex-wife who cut him out of her life? And this is, you know, this is very Peter Gould, this whole scene, I think.
Yeah.
She looks Walt in the eye and says, oh, he's a desperate romantic who will try anything to reconcile.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how fruitless it is, you know, directly in his eyes. And he big times her. No. I'm not buying it. I think it'd be better if the husband were no longer estranged.
Wow, it's suddenly a fantasy story.
Yeah, like they're doing some sort of, and this is kind of bantery and then turns into full on like frolics banter to me.
Yeah.
Of them bargaining about how often he gets to have dinner with the family.
Yes.
You know, I said at the beginning I like this episode. I really do. There are two tonal things at the beginning I don't like.
Yeah.
After this, it's great.
Yes.
But this feels a little silly to me.
Yeah. You know, Walt wants, you know, 5 nights a week and, you know,
Wants every night.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then two nights a week, six. Like they literally do the Bugs Bunny bargaining with Elmer Fudd kind of thing here, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, they get it down to 4 nights a week, 2 hours notice. And Walt wants his own key to the house, which Skyler refuses.
Yeah. And he insists,
yes,
you know, I will watch my own daughter. I will help my son with his homework, you know, and part of the reason why I don't like this scene or like the silliness of this tone is that those are serious things that motivate Walt's character.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, Walt's a bad person. I'm not doing like the best quality vacuum family cord hour or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's a stronger argument.
Yes.
Like I think you can, you know, I think you can make the argument very effectively that Walt does not deserve to do those things now.
Right.
I think it is arguable. Like, no, this is my son. You know, that is a basic elemental thing. I get to see my son.
Yeah.
You know, this is my daughter, my newborn daughter. I barely spent any time with her. I get to do that. Like that is an emotional thing for him, but him pulling it out like a little bargaining chip in this like weird, I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing feels a little weird to me.
It's also like the part of the tone on this is, you know, when Skyler is laying out the story, like, oh, maybe he's a desperate romantic who blah, 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 blah. Like rewatching again, I was like, wait a minute, is she flirting with him? Like, what's the,
yeah,
you know, like, well, like, well, like, where are we at here? And then the,
it's with
that,
it's
suddenly
a
fantasy story. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing where, I think Peter Gould's sensibility, if I'm right. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, putting this up to him, just matches a character like Saul better. Like Better Call Saul has, you know, it's not like that's a sillier show. Like that's an intensely dramatic show with wonderful character work.
Mm-hmm.
The characters just fit his voice really well.
Yeah. In that show. This is trying to fit Skyler and Walt into a rhythm that is too Saul-like, I think.
Yeah, they haven't had it. Like, this is two Sauls arguing in a mirror.
Yes.
You know, this is a big Saul barking at a mirror of a smaller Saul.
It's, I mean, it's Saul arguing with the prosecutors in the courthouse for you know, later sentencing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. For Chicago sunroofs. So this cuts to the lab. Jet, you know, they're finishing up, and Jesse says, "Hey, after this, you want to grab a beer?" Walt says, "You know, no, I made it out of time." He goes, "Get a beer with me."
I'm serious.
And looks at the camera. I want to spend a little bit of time. I fucking love this bar they're in.
It's pretty good.
It's really dark and woodsy. I love it so much.
I drink
like,
there.
Where is this place? Yeah. Like, this place probably serves good food.
Uh-huh.
You look at this place, like, there's something about this specific kind of old school basement den restaurant that I just love.
Yeah.
Why don't they ever come here again?
I don't know. It seems like a great place.
Now, this is sick. they have a cut to the bar. Jesse's drinking a Coke. Walt has a beer. And Jesse's working up the nerve.
Yes.
To say something. You know, Walt eventually, you know, what are we here for? And he pulls out a bag of blue meth, just so Walt can confirm that it's theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. And Walt is like, "What the fuck are you doing? Why are you taking this out in public?" Right. But Jesse lays out his case, right? After Walt confirms that it's theirs, you know, the guys who are responsible for Combo being shot, they're selling their product. And Walt is, you know, trying to talk his way out of this, trying to talk his way out of this even being an issue, right? Saying like, "Hey, you know, this is a lot of speculation." And then Jesse kind of plays what is, you know, not his real concern, but is a present and ongoing one. The fact that whoever they're making meth for, their operation involves an 11-year-old kid both dealing and killing for them.
Yeah.
Get them young and they're theirs and they're yours forever.
I think it's pretty close to his real concern.
Yeah.
For this. Like, it is Combo vengeance motivated, but also, like, if Combo just died from part of the game, you know, this is a multi-layered thing.
It's
complicit in it.
Yeah. I didn't want to make an assumption of what the real bigger one was, right? So that's why I hedged on that. Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely a big thing for him, especially how it plays out later in the episode.
Right.
You know, and Walt again tries to dodge it. Like, why are we even having this conversation? Why now? All these things. And Jesse's, you know, tries to short circuit him. "I don't need anything from you. You just need to do one thing. Like, just give me the ricin. All you have to do is give it to me and then you're out." I figure out this really good plan to poison the dealers. Wendy delivers this poison burgers. And Walt goes, "Oh, that idea is ridiculous. You're going to trust a meth head." And Jesse's like, "No, that meth head stood up to your brother for like 5 hours and didn't crack."
Yeah.
You know, and then turns it around.
Yes.
You know, the plan wasn't ridiculous when it was your idea.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to use this to kill Tuco.
Yeah. And, you know, Walt gets reductive about this, saying, "Hey, you know, this is just it's a turf dispute, right? It was a turf dispute." Yeah. And, you know, that what's there that to happens. Do about it? You know,
Tuco was trying to kill us. That's night and day.
Yeah.
And this is where Jesse comes back. He goes, "Combo was us."
Yes.
You know, like this fundamental disagreement going back to Walt's disrespect.
Right.
You know, for his friends.
Yeah. And Walt does a real dick move here, you know, saying like, "Okay, so why didn't you track him down and kill him months ago after Combo died? You're too busy getting high and feeling sorry for yourself." And he tries to play Jesse's recovery into this. You know, murder is not part of your 12-step program.
Yeah. This doesn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse says, "If you don't see what it accomplishes, then I can't explain it to you."
Yeah.
You know, he gets at Walt is trying to get him to stay. This is, you know, one of the classic scenes of Walt trying to, as long as people are talking, he has control, you know, but Jesse's not playing by those rules. He's leaving. You know, "Jesse, you know, you're not a murderer. I'm not." It's as simple as that. And Jesse says he's doing it regardless and leaves.
Right. So this is a problem. We've got ourselves a wild dog. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Problem dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So Marie Jr. and Hank are playing cards, in the hospital with Hank. Junior wins his third hand in a row, and Reed, like, your dad, you like argue with your dad? No.
It's a different game. You know? It's not blackjack, Marie.
Yeah, it's also, but, you know, Marie is sweetly naive.
You know? Yeah, and, like, nobody knows why she's asking this. And, you know, Hank, yep. you know, just making conversation, wants to know how Walt and Skyler are doing. You know, saying, like, hey, have they gone back to work? Junior says, no. And Hank's like, well, how's that working? And Marie, yeah. you know, just doesn't want him pulling yes. on these threads. And so comes in and says, yeah, did you know that Hank can leave anytime he wants to?
Yeah, Marie is very tactical in this episode.
Yes.
Like, in terms of being the tactical hand throatus, as well as being the tactical in this respect.
Did you say hand? Way that's right. Hand throatus?
Yeah, doing okay. hand throat jobs.
Okay. The,
as opposed to the throatus during the cold open.
Gotcha.
And Hank is really mad about this. You know, he's like, you know, I'm pissing in pans and shitting in buckets. Mm-hmm. You know, and Junior, I love whenever Junior gets a chance to do this.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, so people in wheelchairs should have to stay in the hospital. How about people use crutches? Mm-hmm. And I also love Hank's, he's like, that's exactly what I'm saying. So deal, you little prick. like, he got him, but he's going to be mad about it because they have that kind of jocular.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I love
relationship.
Here's the thing. I love how present Junior is for Hank's recovery here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the main person who's with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of the time. Like, there's a lot of love right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great there. But yeah, wearing down Hank's defenses so we can have his mineral arc.
Yes. So Walt's over at Saul's. He's putting binder clips onto the scales of justice.
I love that.
And Saul is playing solitaire.
I was really expecting Wikipedia said at worst to be like, this represents how Walt is bound by his decisions and his fate or something like that, as yeah. opposed to just the realistic thing, which is that binder clips are one of the most fun office supplies.
Oh, I love them. You make a little X-wing out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You make X-wings that you can stack them up. They have a really pleasing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're great.
I love them.
You know, but yeah. So I should edit that Wikipedia to make it worse.
And Saul's playing solitaire and he misclicks. I also yeah. like that. He's bad at solitaire. Yeah. Yeah. No. You know, I'm hourly, right? Walt called this meeting, but Jesse hasn't shown up.
Yeah, Jesse promised, but he's not going to do it.
Right.
So Walt, they start brainstorming. Or, you know, Saul suggests they brainstorm. Walt, you know, we just need to get him off the streets. He just has to calm down, you know, and you see him baking it, you know, what if he gets arrested, you know, and Saul's like, oh, you want your criminal associate in the hands of the police? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, not in jail. I'm talking about the situations where you're picking up litter in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Saul being, that's jail. this is, you know, Peter Gould-esque non-derogatory.
Yes.
You know, this works as a thing. This is very Peter Gould
dialogue.
Yeah.
And so Saul is kind of rolling this around saying, oh, what you want is like a level 2 joint. Right.
Yeah.
And thinking of places where he can send them, you know, oh, Roswell's pretty good this time of year. You don't want to go to this place, though, because the bathrooms have been dicey since they renovated.
Yeah.
This passing familiarity with like the creature comforts of these different correctional institutions.
pays off later uh-huh. you know, when he's just like, you know, calling his shots
yeah.
in terms of where to be. You know, he's like, well, you know, it's been done. Like it can be done. This is under the premium services packages. I'll have to call my PI.
Yeah. And this is where I remember we haven't seen Mike for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the beginning of a lot more Mike content, which is great.
Yeah.
So Jesse is in Wendy's hotel room, mm-hmm. Laying out the plan and she doesn't want to do it.
Nope.
You know, she is a sex worker. They've gone out of their way to show her as like grody, mm-hmm. but she doesn't want to murder somebody.
No.
And he eventually says like, you know, listen, they use kids. Like you have a kid, right? Mm-hmm. What's his name? You know, Patrick there. And he's like, you do anything for him. Right. And I love this. Where she's like, I do all kinds of things for my kid.
Right.
You know, it's very heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that all sex workers are in that position, but you know, you get the sense that Wendy is not living her best life.
No.
You know, they've gone out of their way to portray that. Like, this is not what Wendy would be choosing to be doing necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but she's, you know, just still can be very hesitant about this, both about being caught, but also she's really wrapped around the axle just on the idea of becoming a killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember back in season 1 when murder was bad?
Yeah.
Wendy does.
Pepperidge Farm
this
remembers.
Is only, like, we're going to get to the end of this episode, and it is only the second and third person Walt's murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some reason I had a bunch of Phantom murders in between there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In my head, I assumed like off screen, he was doing some like side quests.
Uh huh.
You know, but the, yeah, it is, murder is still a big deal. It's really easy to backport, season five Walt.
Yes.
Into this, you know, coordinating the death of 12 people in jail via Nazi bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, in real life, this is still potentially a big deal.
Yes. Yeah. It's still, I mean, that's why it hits hard when this episode ends.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. More moral, not tactical.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah.
So Walt's babysitting Holly. When we get one of my favorite scenes in the, in the series.
Entire series. Both series. Like, this is A+, absolutely S rank.
This is them understanding exactly what kind of asset they have in Jonathan Banks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and just pulling the rug on this whole scenario. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this sets up season four as a thing, basically. So, like, Mike comes in and he's like, yes, you know, you could call. And this isn't a phone talk, Walter, you know. This is a professional courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains, reveals to Walt and the audience, you know, I talked to Saul about your plan. I'm not going to do it. It's moronic. What's the problem? The boss wouldn't like it. Saul? No, my boss. Your boss.
Uh-oh.
Our boss. Like this.
More is on the inside than you thought, Walt.
Yeah. Like this idea that Gus has his, you know, fingers in many sinister chicken pot pies, including, you know, having this operator.
Yes.
Who previously Walt and Saul felt a measure of control over.
Yes.
You know, like this is somebody we hired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the guy who came and put bugs in my house, you know, as a lackey.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
No. Turns out he's connected too. And you have to imagine how Walt feels understanding exactly how much dominion Gus has, you know, even having this guy here. Right.
Yeah. Exceedingly great. Just scary moment. Scary subtext here. You know, nobody knows I'm here. I'm here as a professional courtesy because we are colleagues, you know, we got a good thing going here, Walt. Like, again, I love that.
Refrain.
I love that it gets echoed, you know, and do you really want to risk this for a junkie? You know, I realize that you two have a history, but that kid's been on the bubble for a while now. It's been a long time coming.
And Walt doesn't understand what he's saying, you know, and this is, you know, Mike's going to lay out this story that is, you know, I mean, part of his story. There are other things that like more directly resulted in him breaking bad and entering the life that he had here. But like, this is foundational. This is earlier than the Maddie stuff that we hear, you know, in Better Call Saul. Right.
Part of me wants to just see if we ask Gwen to cut it in.
Well, you got a good thing going here. We all do. You want to risk it all on one junkie? Now, I realize you two have a history, but this kid's been on the bubble a while now. It's a long time coming.
What is?
I used to be a beat cop a long time ago. And I get called out on domestic disputes all the time, hundreds probably over the years. But there was this one guy, this one piece of shit that I will never forget. Gordy. He looked like Bo Svenson. You remember him? Walking tall, you don't remember?
No.
Anyway. Big boy. 270, 280. But his wife, or whatever she was, lady, was real small. Like a bird. Wrist like little branches. Anyway, my partner and I get called out there every weekend. And one of us would pull her aside and we'd say, come on, tonight's the night we press charges. And this wasn't one of those deep down, he really loves me setups. We got a lot of those, but not this. This girl was scared. She wasn't going to cross him, no way, no how. Nothing we could do but pass her off to the EMTs, put him in a car, drive him downtown, throw him in a drunk tank. He sleeps it off. Next morning, out he goes. Back home. Now, one night, my partner's out sick, and it's just me. And a call comes in, and it's the usual crap. Broke her nose in the shower kind of thing. So I cuff him, put him in the car, and away we go. Only that night, we're driving into town, and this sideways asshole is in my back seat humming Danny Boy. And it just rubbed me wrong. So instead of left, I go right out into nowhere. And I kneel him down, and I put my revolver in his mouth. And I told him, this is it. This is how it ends. And he's crying, going to the bathroom all over himself, swearing to God he's going to leave her alone, screaming as much as you can with a gun in your mouth. And I told him to be quiet. But I need to think about what I was going to do here. And of course he got quiet. Goes still. And real quiet. Like a dog waiting for dinner scraps. And we just stood there for a while. Me acting like I'm thinking things over. And Prince Charming kneeling in the dirt with shit in his pants. And after a few minutes, I took the gun out of his mouth. And I say, so help me, if you ever touch her again, I will such and such and such and such and blah, 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 blah.
Just a warning.
Of course. Just trying to do the right thing. But 2 weeks later, he killed her. Of course. Caved her head in with the base of a wearing blender. We got there, there was so much blood you could taste the metal. The moral of the story is, I chose a half measure when I should have gone all the way. I'll never make that mistake again. No more half measures, Walter.
Like, I don't want to get in the habit of doing that.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking good.
Okay.
You know, like recounting it feels a little bit bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so goddamn good.
Yeah. Well, we can cut it in. I'll put a marker here.
Yeah. Thank you, Gwen. Appreciate you, Gwen. Yeah, the performance on this is fucking perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like Mike's weary resignation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. You know, just like, and of course this happened. Like, this is a person who... is become broken bad, not through like an individual incident.
No.
You know, this scene ties so perfectly to the final scene with Mike in Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Where Mike slightly earlier in his career is trying to differentiate himself
mm-hmm.
from the world that he's in.
Yeah.
And he can't.
Nope.
Like there's not a difference.
No.
You know, there are, you know, different shades of black in this to a degree. But at the same time, you are what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are who you are.
Yeah.
You know, this is him recounting a time when he still had that kind of wistfully recalling a time where he still had like an optimism that he doesn't have anymore.
Yeah. Before he got ran through the system, before he got run through the ringer of all of these, you know, small compromises and all of these, you know, harder and worse people than him that stained him by association, right?
Yes.
You know, and you know, it's very easy to see that this is somebody at the end of a very, very long road. And you know, so much of this is down to it's a horrifying story, you know, the line like,
yeah,
you know, there's so much blood you could taste the metal, but like,
yeah,
just the moment when he you know, saying, yeah, this is it, this is how it ends, when he's recalling having the gun in Gordy's throat or in Gordy's mouth, right? You know, and just like leaving him to hang there while he shits himself, you know, as he's, you know, thinking about that, the way that Banks's lip quivers.
Yeah.
You know, like almost like working almost into a snarl is so good. The way he like, is, well,
he's recalling the emotion of that. Like that is the central thing of this episode, where it's this episode and this next one, you know, if you, what value is killing,
mm-hmm.
You know, this, doing it for the greater good tactically, you're still taking a life.
Yes.
You know, and he says, you know, he begged and I had to think about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And he's recalling that feeling and he has contempt.
Yes.
For himself for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, it cost, you know, an innocent person their life. And I think that there's an argument, and, you know, this has been a drum I've been beating the entire series,
mm-hmm.
that you can make that argument for what Walt does at the end of this as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can make that argument for several, not all, but some, you know, several of the murders
mm-hmm.
in this series.
Yeah.
That they were justified. It just ruins you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have to go, but it has a corrupting influence on everything around you.
Mike doesn't come out better on the other side of killing this guy. He takes, you know, he takes the death of Gordy's wife on, you know, onto himself. If he,
yes.
either way, right.
Better side of not killing this guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's not improved.
No.
By making what would be considered the morally good choice and is arguably the morally good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just, it's the way in which we are just grandly fucked.
Mm-hmm.
In a cosmic sense.
Yeah.
You know, like there is what, you know, what good is that kind of rule when inaction causes, you know, the innocents to suffer as opposed to the guilty to justly suffer.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a really perfect little story that dovetails with so many of the themes of this little two episode arc and the series at large.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parallels with other characters and what they're going to do.
Yeah.
In this. It's just, it's a perfect scene.
Yeah.
Would change nothing.
No.
Yeah. Fucking incredible. you know.
Yeah. So, you know, it's ended like saying like, hey, don't make the same mistake I did, you know, no half measures. Right.
Yep.
And this is, you know, Mike trying to convince him, you know, just, hey, like Jesse's got to go. The full measure that he is alluding to is like, you know, just let what's going to happen to Jesse happen. Yep. Mike doesn't understand that he has awakened something in Walt by this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Walt does take the wrong lesson from it as well.
Yeah.
And Walt is not there yet.
Right.
You know, Walt has to learn that over the course of the series.
Yeah.
He learns it like seconds before he dies.
Well, yeah.
You know, this idea that, you know, but he can't let Jesse go.
No.
You know, again, he loves Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he were purely self-motivated, that would have been the thing to do.
Yeah. Let Jesse go, take Gail on as an assistant, work as long
life.
As you can, live your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So, Jesse's out with Wendy looking for the dealers, but they're not there.
Yeah.
Wendy's freaking out. The burgers are getting cold, you know, until Mike comes up and pounds on the window as a jump scare. Takes Jesse in his car. Victor tells Wendy to take a walk.
Yeah. And then Victor joins them and drives them. And it's wordless. And, you know, Mike's not answering Jesse when he asks, like, hey, you know, where are we going? Jesse can only assume, you know, out to the desert to be shot. Right.
Yes.
But they end up at the chicken farm, at the meeting room. and as they round the corner to go into the entrance, Jesse notices that Walt's car is there. The Aztec. And Jesse understands that he's been sold out.
Yep. Just, you know, great face work.
Mm-hmm.
On this. Mike waves him in. Walt is on Gus's side of the table. The dealers are there, you know, kitty corner to this,
mm-hmm.
giving Jesse the shitting grin, like, fuck you, you know, you snitched also.
Yeah.
We got connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gus does not put out the veggie tray.
No.
that means Gus is not here to negotiate.
Gus is in full business here. He's not trying to present any kind of, you know, genialness for this. And Gus lays out, you know, as I understand that there's a conflict here. There is blame on both sides of the matter. You have to understand that you were encroaching on our territory, and says, you know, this will be settled here, right now.
Jesse looks to Walt and says, I can't believe you snitched me out. And I love Gus,
mm-hmm.
You know, sends the dealers outside, gets up, stands over him,
mm-hmm.
And says, you know, listen to me. You have one friend in this room, this man. So my respect for him that stopped us from going a very different way.
Yeah. and the progressive slipping of Gus's mask, you know, like customer service Gus, and then, you know, him dead-eyed talking about the realities of the business Gus. And then here we get our first look at
angry Gus.
At rage Gus, you know, as, you know, Jesse breaks eye contact to, again, turn to Walt, trying to, you know, put this back on him. You know, don't look at him, look at me.
It's great.
Yeah, just completely dominating the room. Yeah.
We get also, Aaron Paul, no slouch in this department, like in the scene at all. Gus says, what's going to happen is I'm going to bring them back in. We're all going to shake hands and leave it at that. And I love Jesse going, no. Like he says it like he surprises himself.
Yep.
Saying it like he did not expect it to come out of his throat.
Yeah.
I really, really love it.
Mike's reaction is so good because it's the Mike Ehrmantraut equivalent of going, bruh.
it's real good.
Nobody says no to Gus.
Jesse stands up, like literally stands up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great stuff. And like they're using kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be this big, reasonable businessman. This is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Walt, do you have anything to say here? Like they're using 11-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And Gus just stares at him. And it's like, okay, this is the thing that solves this.
Yes.
This has given me, I can give this up.
Right.
Do
you think that Gus knew they were using kids? Because this being introduced seems to change things in a way that implies that he didn't. That when Walt ran this up, go ahead.
Yeah. So there's two things that I think are ambiguous here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play into the next episode. I'd be curious to hear what you think and what people listening think.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gus probably knew that they were using kids
because
Gus, it's his business to know things.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that Gus, when he said no more children, thought that was going to mean they were going to execute Tomas.
Yeah.
I can see the argument for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a loose end. It is what they do.
Yeah.
But also I sincerely don't think that Gus wanted to force that confrontation.
Right.
Through that.
Yeah.
I can see the argument for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a situation based on Gus's face and his kind of surprise during the opening scene of the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that this escalated in a way he did not expect.
Yeah. And it's something that we talked about before, but like the move to the super lab and the move to not having anybody operating at street level anymore does, what something the show is playing with is a distance from the realities of what this of what this business is.
Yes.
So like I could understand Gus not understanding, the way that what he says, being received. Right.
Absolutely. Like how often do we think about factory farming? We are removed from like more than I want to.
Yeah.
But the, we are removed from our processes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is easy to not think about how the sausage is made.
Right. Even if you are, President Sausage of Sausage Co. Yeah.
Sausage King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gus just, stares, brings the dealers back in, and this is the compromise. No more children. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep the peace.
Yeah. And makes Jesse
shake their hands.
I'll keep the peace.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. They shake hands, Jesse does so, and he resents Walt for this.
Yes.
Walt has just been sitting there looking sad this whole time. Basically, it's a YouTube, it's a viral TikTok. Walt at the vet.
Walt sends Jesse across the rainbow bridge.
Yeah. No more half bridge, Walt.
he's sitting there. I mean, looking and presumably feeling guilty. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it is, and we can tell this is what he's feeling based on how he reacts after this.
Right.
You know. Walt is driving Jesse back, and starts going into dad mode.
Yeah.
Again, just, Jesse, sometimes your actions affect other people. Like compromises have to be made for the best of reasons. Jesse won't even look at him. And when they get back to the car, he gets out wordlessly.
Yeah. And speeds off. And, Tomas is still there riding in circles. Right.
Yeah. We get a little bit of levity here with the tactical hand throatus. with Marie, is giving Hank a sponge bath.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is what you want? You just want to be here being sponge bathed all day?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not going to go home until I'm well. And she grabs his dick.
Yep.
He's like, nothing's going to happen. She's like, oh, I bet you I can get this going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Using a, if I can get the groundhog to see his shadow, which is a mixed message.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
The groundhog.
Turns it into a little competition, right? You know, you're just like, your legs don't work, but what if your dick do? And saying like, hey, you know, and Hank saying, you know, stop being ridiculous. He doesn't want this to work. He doesn't want this sign that, you know, he could be better. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He's in a pity zone.
Yeah.
You know, but he accepts the bet. She has 1 minute. Actually Gus calls and says she has 1 minute. That's what I'm guessing it is. Yeah. Through a voice disguiser.
It's like, all right, well, I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet. Easy, easy enough.
1 minute.
Yeah. And Hank's like, oh, this is ridiculous. I can't believe what you're doing here. And Marie's like, that's right. Protest, struggle.
Yeah. It's a, you know, so she eventually wins. We get a little comedy cut of him being wheeled out with all these get well things with a grumpy look on his face. You know, he gets hand jobbed out of there.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens in TVs and movies, and this may say more about me than it does about them.
Okay.
Is like, I think about like if I'm in the hospital.
Yes.
I could probably shut down my sexual response while I was paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be thinking about it. I know it's hard for me to imagine a hand job so good that it would snap me out of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You're. By making that claim, you're begging to be refuted.
That'd be great. I don't like hand jobs very much. Yeah. But I would love to be proven wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like if there's a real good one, you know, I mean, I'm not actually saying that, you know, like happily married, very happy with my sex life, but I don't like, I haven't liked them. I've never had one that was good enough to make me like, not so much I would win the bet.
Yeah.
No pride, you know, it would just be like, this is not the time or place. I just fucking shot a bunch.
And you know
I can't walk.
You're
shooting in a bucket. This is weird.
You're gonna loosen this. You're gonna loosen my stitches. Yeah.
Yeah. I this is not, you know, this is a weird scenario for me to get an erection in.
I feel
like my body just knows that on a lizard level and is just like,
no,
you don't have to worry about that right now. Let's worry about keeping you breathing and your heart beating and stuff, and then we'll go back to boners later. Yeah. You know,
it's not time for boners now.
Yeah, I feel like my body is just a good co-pilot in that respect.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it's been a while. He's been in here for a couple of weeks, so
that's true.
But that's also
presupposing he's not jerking off. He's not teasing the groundhog.
You think he's doing that? Doesn't that directly contradict what you were just saying about it?
Yeah, if he has the need, I'm saying him having the need but not expressing it.
Yeah.
Is weird. He either doesn't have the need or he does.
I think
if he has the need, I think he would express it.
I think if the bet is I can wake it up, if it is just I can make you an achieve erection, that is an incredibly low bar to clear.
That is certainly lower bar than like ejaculating.
Right, right.
You know, in this scenario. Also, it's probably hard to masturbate in a hospital. I don't think it's impossible.
I mean, you got rooms with little bathrooms, you know?
Yeah, you got little bathrooms. You got that curtain.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't, it's just a comedy beat. It's a gold.
It's a gold comedy beat, but I also love this as an echo of the pilot hand job, you know?
Yes.
And just, how much better, Hank and Marie's relationship is, you know?
There are a lot of tactical hand jobs in this series.
Yes. Yeah. And meaningful symbolism rich hand jobs.
Yes. Yeah. The hand jobs, the allegory of the hand jobs of the cave. These are specifically load bearing. Platonic
load bearing,
load releasing hand jobs. So Jesse's in bed with Andrea. She says, do you have a bad day? And he's like, you know, things are better now. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of reeling from it. He thinks it is over.
Right. Then the phone rings,
but it's not. Yep. It's grandma.
Yeah.
And she calls to break the news. Tomas has been killed.
Right. She starts sobbing, and Brock is looking on from the doorway, and we cut to the crime scene, you know, showing all of these shots of the investigation and people gathered around, you know, a kid has just been killed, you know, in the middle of the city, and Andrea arrives and tries to get, you know, at the body, and Jesse's looking on in horror. Like this is, you know, the absolute.
He did it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, in horror and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't what, you know, he meant. You know, again, shades the next episode. It's funny how words can be interpreted,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's the next morning. Jesse's late for the cook. Walt leaves a message, starts without him. Time passes. You know, Walt is watching Jeopardy with Junior, you know, Walt Whitman. Question yeah. comes up, of course.
The barbarian, you know, because yeah. he's been reading. Yeah, you know, he read the yeah. book that Yell gave him, and Junior's confused yep. about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a yell. Uh-huh. It's a yawp. And he goes, "What's a yawp?" "It's a yell." That's what I said. You know, it's great. You know, Walt goes to the bathroom, and Walt thinks Jesse is dodging him.
Yes.
You know, he's worried, but he's also saying, "Listen, you know, if you're still mad at me, I had every right to do what I did. I did it for your safety." He's justifying himself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then goes out. It's time for dinner. Skyler tells him to turn off the TV. And when he goes to fish for the remote, a news update comes on talking about yep. the, you know, gang execution of Tomas Cantillo, yep. you know, last night. And then stuff snaps into place for Walt, understanding where Jesse's been.
Figures it out.
Yeah.
They sit down for dinner and Walt ends up leaving.
Yeah.
You know, he can't do this. We cut over to Jesse in his car. He's doing meth again.
Yeah.
He's off the wagon.
Mm-hmm. He's yeah. got to do this in order to, you know, do what he's going to do. It is. Yeah. yeah working up the nerve.
He needs a bump of courage.
Yes.
Is what they call it in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
He watches the dealers pull around for a handoff. He gets his pistol out and the dealers know he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the thing that makes me think that Gus did not think they were going to murder him.
Yeah.
Because Gus did not want them to be provoked, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know,
Gus wanted de-escalation, wanted the operation to continue smoothly.
It's not in his interest to have a shootout.
Yeah.
With three of his employees in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So I think that these dealers are basically doing this thing that Gus did not tell them to do.
Right.
Kind of egging him on. They step out because they knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them, it is about fuck you, Jesse, for fucking with our business.
Yes.
You know, if this is what you want. No more kids. I'll give mm-hmm. you all the no more kids you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know. Yeah. And then this starts this very long walk. You know, very long, especially if you're holding your breath while it happens. As you know, a wonderful face, you know, facial acting on Jesse as he, you know, is approaching. You know, the pistol in his you know, in his pocket as the dealers get out. And yep. reveal their own guns. You know, this is, yep. you know, leading up to something really terrible. But Jesse doesn't stop when he sees the guns.
Yeah, it's suicide by dealer in some ways.
Yes.
You know, at this point, like Jesse's had a low-key death wish for mm-hmm. a long time. And everything he does is fucking things up worse.
Yeah.
You know, he was mad about this thing, about this thing he's complicit in. He also, somebody he cared about was directly, you know, involved in it, and trying to fix it made it 1,000 times worse.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. And that keeps happening to him over and over again. I think he does not care if the dealers kill him.
Right.
As everything's about to go down, we hear just a little bit of a rev, and then the Aztec plows through both of them.
This shot of the actor of these two dealers, it's so gruesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
Your legs bent the wrong way.
Oh gosh. Like the one guy just being like wadded up under the, like in the wheel well under the front tire. And the other, you know, that was the one who was plowed under, and the other one just like flopping off the windshield, breaking it again. It still has the tape on it.
Yes.
And him flying and lying on the, lying on the pavement again, legs going the wrong way, completely ruined. Right.
Yes.
And then Walt gets out, checks that the one under the car is dead. And then walks over to Mr. Wrong Legs, who is crawling toward his gun. Walt picks up the gun and then shoots in the back of the head on the ground.
Yep. Just executes him and then like looks at Jesse. The camera pushes in and he just goes, run. Perfect ending.
Yep.
Perfect cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
No notes.
None at all.
Yeah. Just really, really perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. The longest week to wait, you know, between this episode and the next one, just absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Great episode of the show.
Yeah. And thinking about this as a show with consequences and a show with kind of shifting status quos, it seems like everything is ruined here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really Oof. Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Great episode. Next episode's great.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the great zone.
We are.
You know, we've entered the cool zone, non-ironic. So join us.
Please.
For next episode, we see the consequences.
Mm-hmm. As two killings turn into one much bigger killing that raise tensions even more. You are not ready for how tense this is going to get and continue to be, minus one little lull at the end of season four.
Yeah. And I understand folk who, you know, who don't like that carb, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm super here for it. I understand being strung along by a thriller.
No,
like, you know, to be thrilled is a little bit undignified, but it is a carb that I enjoy.
No,
you know, the show is doing more than that. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But this little bit of sweetening it by doing a little bit of pulp, is great stuff.
Yeah,
fuck, man. thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you. If you like the show, you can support it and the other shows we do by going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There we go.
Yeah, we would appreciate it. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends, listen to our other shows. And most of all, thank you, or join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Especially since I had Gwen do a little bit of extra run.
Yeah.
Or extra work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only our producer who edits these shows, but also the composer of our theme music.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next time.
Run.
Boy, fuck. Yeah, run. There we go. Run.